You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
So this morning I'm going to be preaching a sermon entitled Made to Walk on Waves. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are made to walk on waves. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you are made to walk on waves. You see, everyone in this building this morning knows what a storm is. Today, you're either coming out of a storm, you may be entering a storm, or you're in the middle of the storm. Amen. Your storm could be emotional. Your storm could be psychological. Your storm could be relational. Your storm could be economic. Or maybe it's just your health. But every one of us in this building today are facing some other storm. Am I correct? If I'm witnessing with you this morning, can you shout an amen? Amen. You see, the disciples faced so many storms in their time with Jesus. The disciples growing with Jesus, learning with Jesus. The storm of misunderstanding of Jesus' teachings. An example of this is when they argued who would be the greatest among them. Can you see a storm in between the disciples at that moment? The next storm they probably faced was a storm of lack of provision, where they needed to feed thousands of people, and the disciples said it was impossible. But Jesus knew that provision was in the house. Amen. Another storm they could have faced was the storm of pride and competition. Jesus had to teach the disciples that the first has to be last. And if you want to be greatest, you have to be the servant of all. Amen. The storm of betrayal, when one of their very own betrayed the Savior. Can you imagine the storm that must have been going on inside of them when they realized somebody among them, one of their very own that had walked with them for 3 years, is the very one that would give the kiss that marked the beginning of the crucifixion? Maybe the storm of failure and the storm of shame. Peter must have felt it in that moment when he denied Jesus 3 times. Where he'd said to Jesus, I will never deny you. Never, ever, ever. Everybody else will deny you, but Jesus, me. Me, I'm the one. Amen. Another storm they maybe faced was after Jesus was crucified, when they felt like all hope was gone. And they realized, they didn't even realize they're walking with Jesus having this conversation. So there is hope. Because every storm the disciples faced and those we face today become moments where Jesus reveals to us who he is. Amen? When we are in an emotional storm, Jesus becomes our peace. When we're in a storm where we need healing, he becomes our healer. And in a storm where we need provision, what does he do? He becomes our provider. Amen, church. There's enough revival in those 3 sentences to set the world on fire, because it doesn't matter what storm you are facing, Jesus is the solution. Amen? Amen? You see, the day Peter walked on water became one of the greatest lessons of faith. And that is where my sermon is coming from today, the day Peter walked on water. And we've spoken about this so many times. We've preached about this so many times. But the word is so rich and so full that every time we get there, we understand something new. Amen? Do you love the Bible? Do you love spending time with the Lord? Amen? You see, when we read the Bible, we need to read it in context. What does that mean? That means we need to understand what happened before the event and what happened after the event. Amen? To understand the context of that event. So Matthew 14 starts with the beheading of John the Baptist. And Jesus hears this news and he withdraws to be alone. He loved John. Amen? He loved John and he hears John has been beheaded. And Jesus decides he wants to withdraw to a place just to be alone. But as he gets to that place, there are crowds and crowds of people. And the Bible says that his heart is stirred with compassion as he sees the needs of the people in front of him. And he starts ministering to them. He puts his needs aside. He puts his emotions aside and he ministers to the sick. And while he's ministering to the sick and he's talking and he's preaching, he realizes, but this crowd is hungry. Amen? So I'm just giving you a little bit of context to get to where I'm getting at. So Jesus tells the disciples, let's feed these multitudes. And Jesus does a miracle of miracles. He takes 5 loaves and 2 fish and he feeds thousands. Wouldn't we like to have those loaves and fish in our kitchen? Especially with the boy I have. If I could have 2 fish feed 5,000, my budget would be a third of what it is right now. Amen? My son eats a whole chicken at a time. Amen? Pray for me. Pray for me. Amen? But then things get worse. And Jesus does something quite unusual. He sends the disciples on a boat. And he says, I want you to go to the other side. And that's where I'm going to read. I'm going to read Matthew 14, verse 22 to 33. Is that okay? So immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Take in every single word this morning, because every single word holds so much of Jesus. And while he sent them to the other side, while he was going to send the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, and they said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and he said, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you," Jesus has just said it's him, I mean, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. So out of this passage today, I'm going to be showing you 6 lessons we can learn to endure a storm. Amen. Would you like to walk on waves? So I'm going to give you 6 truths this morning that's going to help you walk on waves. Is that okay? The first one is that storms are often faced in our obedience to Jesus. There are storms we face that come from the enemy, but many times we face storms in obedience to Jesus. Remember in Matthew 14, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Jesus told his disciples, get into the boat. He sent his disciples to the boat. Amen? They were completely in God's will. They were completely in God's will when they encountered one of the biggest storms of their existence. Jesus doesn't give any more detail. He tells them, go get in the boat, go to the other side. You see, Jesus knew there'd be a storm. Do you really think Jesus knew, didn't know there was going to be a storm? The holiest path is not always the smoothest path. Can I tell you again? Your holiest path is not always the smoothest path. When you want to obey Jesus' words, it's not always going to be smooth, but he'll always be with us. Amen? The disciples in the middle of the ocean decided not to turn around. They put their boats in the storm and they were going to the other side. Remember, there's only certain things you can learn in a storm. I started my sermon by saying, how do you know Jesus is the healer if you were never sick? How would you know Jesus is your provider if you never needed provision? How would you know Jesus was your peace if you never needed peace? Charles Spurgeon says, I thank my God for every storm that has wrecked me on the rock, Jesus Christ. Amen? I thank my God for every storm that has wrecked me on the rock, Jesus Christ. Can that be our prayer today? That God, I thank you for every storm that wrecks me, that puts me in a place where I can encounter Jesus Christ. Amen? You see, there aren't many amens because we don't actually want to face a storm. Amen? But you know what? Storms will come and storms will go, but the word of God will remain true. Jesus will remain constant. Jesus is going to remain never changing. Jesus says, in every storm you go into, I'm not afraid to go into that storm with you. I'm not a God who runs away from problems. I'm not a God who runs away from storms. I enter the storm with you. Amen? The second thing I want to tell you this morning is let the storms remind you of the promises of God. Think about it. Jesus said to the disciples, go to the other side. This was a promise. He said, get in the boat, go to the other side. If the disciples had believed that word, they would actually have enjoyed the storm. Because God said, he gave them a word. He said, go to the other side. He didn't say, you're going to sink in the middle of the ocean and I'm going to try and find you. Amen? When God gives you a word, when it becomes difficult, find a promise in God's word and believe that promise. Amen? Find a promise and believe it. If you're trusting God for a baby, find a word in the, find a scripture and declare that promise. If you're trusting God for peace, in getting rid of anxiety, find a scripture of casting all your cares upon him and say every day, I'm going to cast my cares upon him. Amen? Amen? You see, if they knew Jesus said they'd go to the other side, they knew that this trial would only become a tool to tighten their focus. This was not for their detriment. Amen? An unknown author once said, one ship sails east and the other sails west, but the same wind blows. It is the setting of the sail, not the gale, that determines where the ship goes. It's the setting of the sail, not the gale. This morning, I want to challenge you, where are your sails set? Are your sails set on going into the promises of God? Because we have a whole book of promises. A whole book of the goodness of God, of the faithfulness of God, of the endurance our faith will give us if we hold on to God. But we need to pick up the book sometimes and just read it. Amen? The third thing I want to tell you about this morning is Jesus sees you even when you can't see him. In the scripture, we see that Jesus was on the mountain praying, and the scripture actually says that he could see them on the lake. Did you notice that when I read that scripture? He said he could see them on the lake. He knew exactly the height of the waves. He knew exactly how many waves were coming. He knew exactly how many liters of water were in each wave. He knew exactly which wave had come before. He knew which waves were hitting them. He knew which waves were still coming. He was watching them. Jesus knew the dimensions of the boat. Jesus had seen every single boat that had ever sailed on that sea. Jesus saw every single size of the boat. Jesus saw every single boat in all eternity that will sail on that ocean. This is the God you serve, church. Jesus saw the depth of the water. Over 1 million unidentified marine species living in it. When Jesus looked at the disciples and saw the sea, he saw every single living creature, known and unknown, in the water. Amen? This is the God we serve, church. And this is the God that will help us walk on waves. God said, go to the other side. You see, Psalm 104 says, this is such a beautiful scripture. It says, oh Lord, how manifold are your works in wisdom. You have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Job 38 says, God asks, who shut up the seas behind the doors when it bursts forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and the thick darkness its swaddling band and set limits for it and said, thus far you shall come and no further. Here is where your proud wave halts. Do you understand what God is saying here? He's saying, wave, you can come. You can be this high and you can be this strong. But this is also where you stop. Amen? Job 9 verse 8 also said, God treads on the wave of the sea. Have you ever read that scripture? God treads on the wave of the sea. This picture tells us that the sea is powerful, yet it's held in place by the command of God. I want to tell you, every sea you face, every wave you face, every boat you get in is seen by your Maker. Amen? Amen? And you know what the beautiful part is? The disciples would have known these scriptures because they would have been in the synagogue and they would have read these scriptures to them. In those days, they didn't have books. They had to go sit and memorize the scripture in the synagogue. So they would have heard that God walks on waves. They would have heard that God says to a wave, to this point and no further do you go. But for some reason in their storm, they forgot the promises. How many times in our storm, church, do we forget the promises? How many times in our difficulty, in our pain, in our suffering, do we forget the promises? But you see, just because the disciples didn't see Jesus, it didn't mean he wasn't there. And it also didn't mean that he didn't see them. You see, there are times in our darkness that we cannot see him, but he sees us. Can I tell you what to do in those times? In those times when you cannot see the hand of God, you need to trust his heart. Amen? In the times where you don't see the hand of God, you need to trust his heart. Because his love for you is never failing. It has no beginning. It has no end. It has everything we need for every circumstance we face. This is the love of your God. Amen. Can you imagine the power in his words when he can say to a wave, to this point and no further? Have you tried to tell a wave to this point and no further? Amen. No. The fourth thing I want to tell you about this morning is Jesus comes at the right time. Jesus comes at the right time. Matthew 14 says, now at the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. He'd been praying till the fourth watch of the night. And when the disciples saw him walking, they were troubled and they said, it's a ghost. And he said, and they were crying out in fear. Can you imagine 12 men crying out in fear? It's a ghost, we're going to die. And you see, in the Sea of Galilee, there was such that the storms were so unpredictable that many people had died in the Sea of Galilee. And they actually had superstitions that ghosts did walk around there, right? So that's where that came from. But Jesus immediately speaks and he says, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. I want to tell you this morning, church, be of good cheer. God is here. Do not be afraid. You see, the fourth watch of the night was actually between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. It was the darkest and most exhausting time to be on that sea. Are you maybe in your dark, exhausted time this morning? You know what the beauty of that is? Right after that, there's a sunrise. Right after your darkest moment, the sun breaks through. Many evenings when we had children and they were going through fever at night, I just wait for that sun. Because if that sunlight came through, I knew I'd made it. Amen? All the mommies in the house, shout out, amen. You see, Psalm 77 verse 19 says, your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. Have you ever read that scripture? Your ways, you were on the great ocean, but your footprints were unseen. So many times in our lives, we don't see the footprints of God. But these footprints are there, amen? So Jesus is walking on the water and he's actually fulfilling scripture because this is in Psalms. This was before Jesus walked on water, the psalm was written. You see, the first thing Jesus said was, take courage. It is I, do not be afraid. Can I tell you this morning, church, take courage. Do not be afraid. And let me tell you about it is I in the middle. If you go into the Greek, that statement, it is I, actually is I am. So he's saying, take courage. I am. Do not be afraid. Take courage. I am. Do not be afraid. Take courage. I am. The same I am that Moses was when he asked God, who are you at the burning bush? When Jesus said, I am who I am. Jesus is using that same phrase there. He's saying, I am who I am. Do not be afraid. Amen? Amen? Amen. know that I am is really with us. We cannot be afraid. You see, this also clearly shows us that the foundation of Peter's miracle was not his courage. It was who Jesus was. We always say Peter walked on water. Peter would do nothing without Jesus. The courage was that Jesus was there. I am that I am was with them. I want to tell you this morning, I am that I am is with you. And he cannot fail. He cannot fail, church. You see, the fifth thing I want to teach you this morning is the water that threatened to be over your head is actually under the feet of Jesus. The water that's supposed to drown you is the substance Jesus walks on. Think about that for a moment. What is the thing that wants to drown you? What is the thing that wants to take you down? That is Jesus' floor. He walks on it. Amen? So Matthew 14 says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, Jesus has just said, take courage, I am that I am. Do not be afraid. And Peter jumps up. Peter, Peter, Peter. And he says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. How many times do we actually know who God is? And then we ask God, is it really you? Are you really with me? Am I really not going to drown? Am I really going to make it? Are your promises really true? And God has just reminded us, I am who I am. But you know, the beautiful part is Jesus says to him, come. One word, come. And when Peter had come down from the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. And he looked around and he saw the wind and the boisterous waves and he became afraid again. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretches out his hands, immediately, and he catches him. And he says to him, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Can I say to us this morning, why do you have little faith? Why do you doubt? The same God that stretched out his hand for Peter is the same God that will stretch his hand out for you. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed, church. You see, can I tell you something interesting while I was reading this last night? 12 men heard Jesus say, come. One got out the boat. Do you think Jesus was only telling Peter to come? This single command, come, gave Peter the authority to do the impossible. It gave him the courage to step out the boat. There are some doors, church, that are just not going to open if you don't step out in faith. Amen? There are some doors that will not open until you put your foot out the boat and start walking. But 12 heard come, one stepped out the boat. You see, faith responds to the word of Christ, not circumstances. What is faith? Faith is a total dependence on Jesus Christ, a total trust. Knowing that if Jesus says come, there might be waves, there might be a wind, there might be lightning, there might be instability around me. If Jesus says come, that sea is going to become his floor. And we might not see his footsteps, but we're going to walk to him because God said come. You see, when Jesus was sinking, he prayed a very short prayer. But one of the most powerful prayers in the Bible, what did he say? He said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. He didn't pray a long theological prayer. Oh, Lord God Almighty, the creator of the heaven and the earth. He would have been dead by then, amen? He said, Lord, save me. Save me. And that was enough for Jesus to reach out his hand. Sometimes we just need to call on Jesus and say, Lord, save me. Can I tell you something, church? Jesus is a better savior than you're a sinner. Jesus is a better savior than what you are, a sinner. And can I tell you something else? He can handle your storm. But you need to cry out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Because Jesus never wanted him to drown. It was Peter's own fault he started going down. And it's sometimes our very own fault when we go down because we keep our eyes off Jesus, we take our eyes off him, and we start looking at the things around us. And we start focusing on things around us, and we don't focus on those beautiful eyes of Jesus. Those eyes that never disappoint. Those eyes that always, always are upon us. Can you imagine the love of Jesus? Amen? The last thing I want to talk to you about this morning is our ability to walk is dependent on the focus of our eyes. You see, Matthew says, and when he saw the wind, it was boisterous. The wind was always there. Even when he got out the boat, even when he walked, the wind was still there. The waves were always there. When he got out and did his first step, the wave was there like he did his 15th step. The waves were there. But until the point that he looked at the waves didn't matter to him because he was looking at the person who stabilizes the ocean. Church, you need to keep your eyes on the person who stabilizes your ocean. That's Jesus Christ, amen. And he says, when he saw the wind, he started to sink and he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretches out his hand and he says, I'm here, don't, why do you have so little faith? Why do you doubt? You see, there were 12 disciples in the boat. 11 experienced the storm, but one experienced the storm with a miracle. Are you going to be part of the 11 in the boat? Or are you going to be part of the one that maybe has to keep his eyes on Jesus, but you're going to be the one that experiences a miracle? You see, Peter may have sunk for a moment, but he still experienced something that the other disciples didn't. Right? The other 11 didn't experience walking on water. Can you imagine if all of them jumped out the boat? And if all of them sank at once, Jesus could grab all of them. That's the God we serve. Can I ask you a question this morning? Would you rather be a wet Peter or a dry Thomas? Would you rather be a wet Peter or a dry Thomas, church? Would you rather be Peter trusting in Jesus or Thomas doubting if Jesus is really even Jesus and that he died and he rose and there was enough power in that blood to actually save you? The greatness of the story is that God delivered Peter and was merciful to Peter. Peter is just Peter. How did you know Jesus was Jehovah Jireh when you didn't have provision? How would you know Jesus was Jehovah Shammah, your peace, if you didn't need peace? What is the point of your testimony if Christ is not the Savior? Amen? So in conclusion, remember I started and I said, Jesus got to the edge of the Sea of Galilee. He healed the sick and he gave out 5 loaves and 2 fish. You remember that I said that's how we started the story? Remember I told you that context is needed to understand something? Read what happened before and read what happened afterwards. So late last night, I went and read what happened after Peter had walked on the water and they were in the boat. You know what happened afterwards? Jesus got to another shore. And you know what? He healed the sick on that shore as well. And you know what teaching he gave them in that moment? He gave them the teacher that I am the bread of life. Before walking on the water, people didn't understand the authority of Jesus. And Jesus fed them bread, natural bread. After he'd walked on water and their lights were actually coming on and saying, you are the Christ. Jesus said, now let me tell you what's better than the bread you just ate at the other shore. I am the bread of life. Anyone who comes to me will be saved. Amen? Church, unfortunately, there's a Peter in all of us. Right? In every person. We're a combination of courage and fear. We're a combination of reverence and disrespect. We're a combination of selfless devotion and also a dangerous self-love. Right? But he was, however, the only man in the world who had faith enough to walk on the water when Jesus said, come. He faced the very thing he feared. And you see, when Jesus entered the boat afterwards, the disciples were there and they said to him, truly, you are the Son of God. And you know what they did after that? They worshiped. Because their worship was their response to who Jesus was. Amen? The storm is ultimately led to take you to a deeper revelation of who Jesus is. Any storm you face, if you know it's taking me to a deeper revelation of Jesus, if I obey the promises, if I look at the promises, if I remind myself of the promises, if I remind myself that the sea is not meant to drown me, it's the very thing my Jesus walks on, then life becomes a bit different. Am I correct? Oftentimes, storms are where your faith will grow. Amen? So there are two ways of getting through a storm. I'm coming in for a landing. My first one. Amen? There are two ways to get through a storm. You're either a survivor or you're a student of the storm. We don't want to just be a survivor. We want to be a student of the storm. I've gone through this storm. My God was faithful. I have a testimony. Amen? I've gone through this hard time. My God is faithful. I have a testimony. Guess what? I'm going to go through another storm. And when I hit that storm, it's okay. Because I have a promise from heaven that I will not drown if I keep my eyes on Jesus. And my God says to this wave, be still, and it gets still. Amen? Amen? I think sometimes we insult the Lord by questioning his authority in the storm. Can I say that? Can I say that? I think sometimes we insult the Lord by questioning who he is in our storm, because we give our problems to him and we wonder if he can do anything with it. I think it's insulting to Jesus. So can I tell you, cast your cares upon him. Give your anxieties to Jesus, because he cares for you. You see, he can handle your burden and he can handle your storm. God can handle your storm. Why are you worrying about tomorrow? It's an insult to your God. Amen? Psalm 107 verse 29 says, he stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. How beautiful are these scriptures, church. He made the storm to be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. He says to that storm, hush, it's enough. This is the God we serve. The captain of your ship will take you through the storm and get you to the shore. Amen? Peter, the rock sank. Rocks do sink in water unless a rock keeps its eyes on Jesus. Can I say that again? Peter's name meant the rock, right? And rocks sink in water unless a rock keeps its eyes on Jesus. Amen? I end with one statement. Trust the captain. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.